Poorly Read.
Hello, welcome to this week's episode of Poorly Read.
Yeah, welcome.
Welcome.
I said welcome with a V then.
Nice. Keeping it cultural.
We're keeping it flaggy. There we go. Keep...
Getting flaggy up in here.
Oh, do you know what I just got the urge for then is like a cookie with like different colour M&Ms on the front that are the colour of like a flag. That'd make me happy.
Red, white and blue.
Why does it have to be red, white and blue?
Just seems like a lot of flags have red, white and blue on them.
No, I want more interesting flavours of shell on my M&M.
Yeah, yellow, red and black?
Yes. Or how about red, white and black, Tom? I feel like that'd be a gorgeous, tasty combination. Have quite a smoky flavour.
Nope, don't know
what
that is.
What are you struggling with?
I've read the red, white and black thing.
Yeah.
What is that?
What colour is a Nazi flag, Tom?
Okay.
Fuck it.
Okay, right, that's it. I got there eventually. If you got there before me, congratulations. You win a prize.
That's what we're talking about today, so.
Ah, fucking Nazi flags and M&M cookies.
That sounds like a great podcast.
Just sit like opposite ends of like any spectrum you can imagine, really. M&M's are multicolored. Nazis didn't like that.
Yeah. So the Nazi flag rounded up all the M&Ms, put them in a bowl of hot water until the colours ran off. And then they were just white underneath.
Yep.
And then the Nazis had a moment of reckoning where they realised that underneath it all, we are all the same.
Well, we are all white.
Oh man, they were white on the inside.
And that's what Hitler based his entire thesis on. And then he cracked the shell open on, started cracking the actual shells open and saw inside that and was like, oh my God, the whole thing's a lie.
Oh God, some of them an ugly chocolate colour. But it's okay, I like the nut ones.
Oh, what, did M&Ms exist then? I happen to have. 1941 was the first M&Ms.
How do you know that?
Because I happen to have an M&Ms deck of playing cards right here beside me that has on the cover. It's from the M&M shop in Leicester Square.
When did you get that?
A little while ago. It was before we went.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it wasn't that time. I didn't like sneakily pocket a pack of cards. Yeah. But they've got all the different M&M artworks throughout the years on them. And the first one they have is 1941.
Wow. I wonder why that was. That's weird to produce a new chocolate during wartime. But I guess if they're American, then America wasn't involved in the war at that point, was it?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway, no, we're not here to talk about that at all, are we, Joe?
No, although, I mean, somehow it does seem to take up a lot of airtime on this podcast. We're talking about bloody Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. And we're kicking off...
bloody Harry Potter.
Bloody Harry Potter.
He just keeps on slamming it indoors, Tom.
Getting himself all covered in blood.
That's what Uncle Vernon was like. No, we do circumcisions at home here. That's what I'm going to do, Harry.
Put it in this door frame, Harry.
Oh, God. And he's like, yeah, like, isn't that how like, everyone is circumcised, Ron? And Ron's like, one, in the UK, it's a rarity. Two,
you don't have to recircumcise yourself every few days.
Yeah, but it grows back overnight. I mean, maybe if you're a wizard, yeah.
Yeah, maybe. If it's being done against your will and you know all the kids at school are going to make fun of you the next day when they see it.
Oh, do you know what? I didn't finish watching it, but in Preacher, in the final season of Preacher, there's this vampire in it. and he got captured, and his like torture was that they kept on circumcising him. Was it every day? Was it twice a day? It was one of the two. And literally, like, by the end of the week, they had, like, a bucket full of, like, foreskin and stuff.
Because it kept growing back.
Yeah. And it was, he really went through the ringer. I was like, fucking hell, that's terrible.
Wow, tough to go through the ringer with a freshly circumcised dick.
Anyway, enough dillying and dallying.
Yes, we've done enough of both of those things. We begin with chapter 22.
After the burial.
Ron and Hermione are nervous about their upcoming apparition
test. A burial, a new charm from Zonko's joke shop that reminds you when you've forgotten where you buried the bodies. There we go.
Dumbledore's got his own stash.
Yeah. Dumbledore's like, when it grows brown, it reminds me what colour of hooker I buried, Harry.
Fucking hell.
Harry's pissed. Did you say that Harry was pissed?
No. What's he pissed
Harry's
about?
Harry's pissed. That he's not found out about the memory yet.
Oh, yeah.
He's like,
oh,
fuck, I lost my burial.
I need to know if I could just be reminded what colour she was. I can maybe...
Oh dear.
Oh, not with that accent, it's too painful. Girl brings Harry a little note, and Harry thinks it's going to be from Dumbledore about another lesson, but it's from Hagrid. It's like, I've got another body that needs burying, Harry. I did that while Gifted was drinking.
Oh, God. Yeah, bring your personalized spade. You know, the one I got you for your birthday. One with the extra grip handle and the serrated edges. I call it my choppy spade. When you've got something that just won't collapse in the way you want it to, you just give it a good thwack. Then you can separate the legs from the rest of the body and they can fit completely right next to them.
And all of that's in the note.
Yeah. No, it's a fucking Aragog has died.
Yeah.
And Hagrid wants them all to come and help him say goodbye.
Yes, but they all look at each other like, oh, we're not going to do that because we'll get in trouble if we're out after dark and it's not worth it. And Aragog was a prick anyway.
Yeah, everybody hates spiders.
Yeah.
Apart from people who don't. And those are the kind of people I don't want to be friends with. And Harry goes, well, I guess that settles it. And they never saw Hagrid again.
And they all lived richer lives for it.
Yeah. But yeah, Harry feels like he's like, ugh, about it all.
Yeah, he's a little bit ugh about it. And Ron and Hermione tell him that they realise that someone says the word luck. And they're like, oh, you should use your bloody luck potion on forgetting Slughorn's memory. And Harry's like,
yeah.
He sort of had vague notions in the back of his mind of using it as a date rape drug.
Yeah, pretty much. Fucking hell. Oh, God. Yeah, he says, look, because Ron and Hermione are having their apparition exam that day instead of going to potions. So there's only going to be a few of them in potions. So Harry's like, look, I'm going to try and butter him up in potions. If that doesn't work, then I'll use a bit of the Felix.
Yes. Have you guys got all that butter I asked you to get?
And Hermione's like, I could only get margarine.
I was like, well, I mean, it's worked before.
Yeah. And Seamus is like, don't worry, I got a whole fucking vat of Kerrygold upstairs.
So yeah, he gets the potions and it's just him, Ernie McMillan, and Draco Malfoy.
Yeah, and Slocum's like, do you know what? I'm going to be what every good substitute teacher should be and just let you do whatever the fuck you want as long as you're quiet. And so, yeah, he says, look, just make a potion that will impress me.
Make something amusing.
Yeah, I'm making a moose boosh.
Amuse my boosh. If you will.
So Harry goes to adding the potion ingredients, and then Slocum's like, no, no. And he passes him like a microphone. And Slocum just sits on a stool, takes off his trousers. And he's like, telling a joke, Harry.
My boosh has most discerning tastes.
Harry's like, okay, a hag, a healer, and a three-legged hippogriff walk into a pub. Slug was like, heard it.
The boosh is not amused.
Oh, good. No, Harry decides to make a euphoria potion.
Yeah.
Harry just decides to make a pot of ecstasy.
Yeah, in the hopes if he can send Slughorn back to...
Fucking hell, that sounds brilliant.
Yeah. In the hopes that if he can send Slughorn back to his clubbing heyday in the 90s, popping pills, he might get some more luck with the memory.
Yes. He's like, I can't get to my joke fast enough.
What? That's a weird thing for Slughorn to say.
Slughorn's like, Harry, you're not very good at amusing my bush. Get your jokes faster. Build a bridge, Harry. Make things happen. And Harry's like, you sicken me.
He just zips up.
Yeah. No, where's my pot of MDMA? Because E's are good. E's are good, right? Ebenezer good though.
What?
And do you not remember that song?
No.
You do know that one, like E's are good, E's are good. Ah, ah. Ebenezer good, E's are good, E's are good. Ah, ah.
It's not ringing a bell. Well, I'm sure.
Has anyone got any salmon? Sorted. That's the song.
Wow. I mean, it's obviously a banger. There's no question there.
It is a fucking banger. Oh my god. Right, next time we're at a party together, I'll make him put it on. And you'll stand there in the corner with like your arms folded like this and like your drink, sort of like looking at me, and I'll do the dance in front of you.
Cool. Like that. Does the dance involve salmon or?
No, I don't even know what salmon is like slang for exactly.
Drugs, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so. Drugs or canapes.
Yeah. Amuse bouches, if you will. Yeah. And so it comes full circle.
Yeah. I'm a hardcore raver, but I do have taste. Yeah.
What do you mean I can't bring my bruschetta in here?
I think you pronounced that weird. It's not bruschetta.
Yeah, no, I realised it at the time, but...
Anyway, Harry makes a thing.
He looks over and notices that Malfoy looks like shit.
Yeah.
He's all covered in muck.
Harry concludes that his mission must be going badly, which is nice and reassuring.
Yes. And then Harry makes his potion successfully. Slughorn doesn't like any of the others. As they're all packing up, Harry tries to stop Slughorn, and Slughorn realises that the other two have left, so he quickly, like, fucking does another running jump and a pole vault out of the classroom.
Yeah, Harry's like, where does he keep getting that pole?
He's so good at gymnastics.
Yeah, which you wouldn't have thought it looking at him.
I guess if you do anything with enough gusto, you can achieve wonderful things.
Mm, quite.
Yeah.
Harry realises he's talking to himself in the classroom. Yeah.
He gets back to the common room, and Hermione passed the apparition test, but Ron failed because he left an eyebrow behind.
Left half an eyebrow behind, and they all talk about how harsh that is and bolster Ron's confidence. And Harry's like, "Don't worry, mate. We'll take it together next time, and it'll be fun because we'll both be there."
Yeah.
And Ron's like,
"You know what? Twix and Kit Kat did. We did say if I shove this Kit Kat peanut butter chunky up my a-hole that he would let me pass. But I couldn't do it, Harry. Even though I tried. Just the angles of that fucking bar, they're not friendly to a sphincter, you know?
Even when the chocolate melts through, you've still got all the wafer to contend with.
Yeah, and I don't want a bitty arsehole.
I'd do it with something a bit squidgier, like a Mars bar or a Milky Way or something.
Ah, but mate, it'd be like having a shit after you've had a really bad curry if you did it with those two, you know?
Oh, you certainly raised some good points. I'm glad we can always talk these things through together, Harry.
Yeah, me too. I mean, seriously, colonic health is one of my main passions, Ron, you know? I want everyone to have a good movement and a healthy gut.
In fact, Bender, let me have a look. See how you're getting on, mate. Oh, thanks, Harry. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, mate, you need some more yoghurt in your diet.
Yeah, let me smear some.
Yeah. And Hermione turns around and just sees Harry fisting Ron. And she's like, "Oh, Harry, his colon is fine." Just pulls his arm out. Anyway, so Harry's like, "Look, there's nothing for it. I'm going to have to take a swig of my Felix."
Yes, so he lifts up his robe, slides it up, and then announces he's going to Hagrid's.
And they're like, "Harry, you can't go to Hagrid's. You've got to go and get Slughorn." And he's like, "No, I think I'm going to go to Hagrid's. I've got a good feeling about it.
Just feel like it's going to just a place to be, you know?"
Yeah. And Herbert Slughorn's got pills. Oh, fuck me. Anyway, yeah, so he's like, "Yeah, I'm going." So he climbs out the portrait hole and the other two follow him.
Yeah.
And Lavender can't see Harry because he's under the invisibility cloak. So she just sees Ron and Hermione exiting the
boys' dormitories together.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah, they come down into the common room, Ron and Hermione out of the boys' dorms together.
Oh, that makes so much more sense. Okay. I wondered why she would have got funny about that. Right, okay, that makes sense. So why were they all up in the dormitory?
I don't know, I guess just because they had to discuss some stuff they didn't want to discuss down in the common room.
I guess so. So Lavender freaks out. As Harry climbs out of the portrait hole, he bumps into Ginny and Dean, and Ginny thinks that Dean, like, shoved her when it was Harry.
Yeah, the mystery finger.
I mean, yeah. She's like, "Dean, stop fucking trying to poke me with your big black dick."
"You're always doing that, Dean." "I can manage it myself."
Yeah, and then he goes to go down to Hagrid's and he catches Slughorn in Hagrid's patch. Is that right?
That sounds like a euphemism. He decides to take a detour via the vegetable patch. No reason. He just, Felix Felicis decides that that's the best route to go over to Hagrid's, and it's a whim that he should act on. Mm. So he goes around there, sees Slughorn talking to Professor Sprout. He grabs some leaves off whatever plant they're talking about.
Venomous tentacular.
Yes, venomous spectacular. So yeah, Slughorn.
I feel like you were like pausing for like a song or something there.
No, I don't do the songs on this podcast.
No, I feel like you were like pausing because you're waiting for me to start.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, I would never incite that. So yeah, Slughorn parts from Professor Sprout, zips up his trousers, and then runs straight into Harry.
I like to imagine he's wearing a unitard. A purple one.
Slughorn or Harry?
Slughorn. Yeah, it's more aerodynamic, you see.
Yes. Allows for better vaulting. Bet you can't see where I'm keeping my pole, can you, Harry?
Unfortunately, sir, I can see exactly where you're keeping it. Oh, Harry, you're so cheeky. Quickly, feed me some pineapple.
Sweeten me up, Harry.
You'll love drinking it this time. And yeah, he Slughorn comes like, Harry, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I'm on my way to Hagrid's. He's got a dead spider.
Slughorn's like, oh, well, I'd love to come and see it. I'll go get some bottles and be with you in a jiffy.
Yes, Aragog venom is very valuable.
I wouldn't do anything insensitive if Hagrid's upset. Acromantula venom is extremely valuable.
I guess it would be, because it must be so hard to get it.
Yeah, especially if it's an ingredient that can be used for potion making and stuff.
Yeah. I wonder if you get, like, one vial of it, if you can just duplicate that, like, magically.
Well, if you can do that with any substance, then nothing would have any value. Like, there could be no economy.
Yeah, that's very true.
So you can't be able to do it with everything.
I guess so. So you can do it with food, but maybe magical substances you can't do it with.
Yeah.
So maybe, like, ordinary ingredients you could?
Yeah, ordinary, like, mundane, non-magical ingredients.
Yeah.
Anyway, Harry goes down to Hagrid's, and Hagrid is all upset, and he tells him that Slughorn's coming down. He wanted to come and toast to Aragog's, you know, passing or whatever.
Yeah.
Not toast to his passing, but, you know, whatever you do at funerals.
So, yeah, they say, like, a prayer, and then
Slughorn subtly goes and milks Aragog's corpse without Hagrid noticing.
Yeah, which was, like, yeah, I wonder how.
Yeah.
Also, having to get that close to, like, Aragog's, like, giant spider mouth, that's pretty intense, I feel.
Yeah.
Like, even if it's dead, I wouldn't have the guts to do it.
No?
Yeah, wouldn't you be scared?
No, it's dead.
Yeah, but I feel like that moment was such, like, a clear distillation of our personality. Yeah. Oh, God. So then they roll him into the grave, and then Slughorn uses his magic to make the dirt cover it.
Yeah, it says a few words. Yes. Then they go back to Hagrid's hut to get fucked up.
Yeah, but Harry has a sneaking suspicion that he shouldn't drink, so he just pretends to drink.
Yes.
And so him and fucking Slughorn and Hagrid just fucking get pissed on some Strongbow, I guess.
Yeah, crack out the white lightning. And yeah, Slughorn has had a house elf check every bottle, taste every bottle to check for poison after what happened to Harry's friend Rupert.
Yes. I haven't got a joke. Oh, God.
You started as if you had. I know.
No, I had like three sort of like elements of a joke that I couldn't quite link up. It was like him saying yes, and then something about a house elf just secretly running down to Tesco and just being like, "What have you got that's really cheap?" And the girl being like, "Well, if you go down our alcohol aisle, you'll probably find like some cider. We got like Tesco basic cider, something like $1.99." And the house elf was like, but will it get master fucked? And she's like, yes, it will get master fucked. Also, I feel like master fucked is going to be the term I use for getting off my face from now on. Oh, God. So fucking one of the house elves is like lopsidedly running back to Hogwarts, carrying two like Tesco bags for life. With just like four like 2 litre bottles of cider in each. And fucking by the time the elf gets back, it throws the cider onto the floor outside Hagrid's hut and just falls down dead of exhaustion.
And Slughorn's like, ah, right on time.
Yeah. Just kicks the elf into Aragog's grave. Oh, God. I tell you what, Hagrid, let's throw it on a barbie and we can have elf wings for dinner. How about that? And Hagrid's like, oh, my favourite delicacy. Aragog would have loved that.
Do you know what? Maybe I'll add it to the menu.
Yeah! I wonder if you can magically duplicate house elves. Don't worry if not. I'll just impregnate the ones that I can and... Oh, good. So they finished that house elf and Slughorn's like, I'm still a bit peckish of you. He's like, yeah. So he's like, Dobby, and then Dobby appears, and Harry's like, no, not that one, please.
Oh, Hagrid's like, don't worry, give me a couple of months, so I'll just need to sire my brood.
And on their first birthday party, we'll shut all the curtains and massacre the lot and have the best fucking Thanksgiving we ever had. Oh, God.
Hagrid's barbecue wings night. Put it in your diaries now.
Yeah. And just make it extra special. We'll get another house elf to do all the cooking. There we go.
Just really intensify that flavour.
Oh, fucking hell, that's terrible.
Oh, Hagrid. Awful.
Oh, Hagrid. Oh, master fucked.
So Hagrid and Slughorn are getting master fucked.
Yeah.
Harry sees that their bottles are almost depleted and refills them with a a silent, wordless spell.
So he's like, Refilio!
He's like, oh, fuck, no, I meant to do it the other way.
Oh, God. Yeah, and then they start singing about a troll that... It's like, oh, Odo, the troll, oh, something, you were bad. But then you fell in a ditch. And my, that was sad, or something like that.
Yeah. I can't. I think I zoned out for a lot of the singing. But they sing about, yeah, some wizard who died or some troll who died. I don't know. Someone who died. And it was very sad. And then Hagrid's like, just like your parents, Harry, it was bloody terrible.
Slughorn's like, oh, yes, Lily was my favourite. She always gave me the right pineapple. And then Hagrid fucking just crashes and falls asleep.
Yeah, and then Harry goes in hard on the... yes, my parents are dead and you should feel bad for not helping me by giving me this memory.
Yeah, and he's like, I tell you what, Slughorn, I am the chosen one.
And so like, fuck you.
You're Keanu Reeves? He's like, of course.
Look, fire this gun at me. Watch me bend backwards.
Yeah, like, whoa. And Slughorn's like, fucking hell. No, he's like, yeah, I'm the chosen one and I need that memory. And then he's like, no, but I mean, I can't. It's awful what I did. I mean, if I knew it was going to, like, help you in some way, then he's like, yeah, but it will. It will help me kill Voldemort. And then he's like, oh, fine. And so he gets a bucket, fucking vomits up the memory, like, gives it to him. And he's like, if you can find the memory in all of this, it's yours.
You might have to wade through a lot of pineapple.
But please, don't think bad of me when you watch it.
Yes, it's only what any sane man would do if you have all the pineapple I have.
Yes. You might have to forward the bit where Riddle fillets me, but, I mean, how else was he meant to get what he needed?
He had his ways, I tell you that. He was very seductive.
Yes, and it was so good, Harry. So at the moment of a climax, I told him exactly how to make Horcrux. Oh, God.
Oh, the powers he wielded, you have no idea.
He had a forked tongue, you see.
That was chapter 23.
Horcruxes.
Yes.
Harry goes back to the castle.
Yeah, carrying the big sloppy bucket. all excited. He gets to the common room and the fat lady's like, no, the password changed at midnight. You just have to wait outside. And Harry's like, but that's fucking bullshit. And she's like, we'll take it up with Dumbledore.
And he's like, well, I would if he was here. And then Nick fucking pokes his head from behind the curtains like, he is here.
I saw him come back. Well, the bloody Baron saw him come back.
Yes.
And Harry's like, no way. And then rushes off slopping his bucket.
I'm sorry, that might be my favourite Harry impression you've ever done.
What, the slight movement of my head?
No, you know, you go, no way.
Oh.
That has to be his catchphrase from now on. I don't, no way. It's just like that, the way you said it was perfect. No way.
I can't, it was like less than a minute ago. I can't even remember saying it.
I know, I'm trying to do like an accurate impression of it and I can't. It's great.
Well, lucky we got it recorded.
So yeah, Harry fucking squats down and there's a massive leap upwards and lands outside Dumbledore's office.
Yes, keeps all the slop in the bucket.
Yeah, he's getting very good at it.
Yeah. Yeah, he borrowed one of Slughorn's poles and vaults over to Dumbledore's office.
Oh, God.
And Dumbledore's very pleased and very happy, and they go into the memory together.
Yes, they pour it in the pensive, put their faces in it.
As is tradition.
And then they go... And then they appear in Slughorn's memory.
Yes, Dumbledore's told Harry that that's part of the process. They have to go...
Yes, Harry, I've got to stick my finger in your ear, and I go, blah, and that's how we see the memory, you see. Ah.
You must believe me, because I'm the wise old mentor in this story, ha. Huh?
Yes, look how long my beard is. What you don't know, Harry, is that I'm not actually wearing any underwear.
And Harry's like, I do know that, sir.
You are butt naked.
It's actually quite clear.
Yeah, I can see your crinkly bottom. I can see your house party. Yeah, so fucking Slug is having his party and then it sort of like we can cut to the bit where like all the others are cleared out and it's just Tom left.
Yes. And he asks him if he knows anything about Horcruxes. And he's all like expertly hesitant and worried and like he tells him about Horcruxes. You split your soul and keep a little piece of it. It's hidden away somewhere inside an object and you do it by murdering.
So how does someone split their soul? And someone's like, murder. And then he's like, and what would the spell be? And then he's like, God, man, I don't know it. I don't know, so don't ask me. And then he's like, but wouldn't, like, would one Horcrux be enough? Wouldn't seven, the most magical number, be the most powerful number of Horcruxes?
Yeah.
And Slughorn's like, pour le baba de Merlin. And then they exit the pensive, and Dumbledore's like, ah, I don't know what any of that means, Harry.
Help me, Harry. Tell me what it means.
Yes, tie my beard around your ankles and tell me what it means. So yeah, he's like, look, I've had suspicions about this ever since you came to me with the diary in book two.
Yeah, and Harry's like, you often refer to my years as books.
I separate each year of my life into a book, Harry. When I met you, I decided to start it from the beginning again.
Yes. Harry Potter and the Philosopher's Stone.
I mean, really, he could, because he would just be writing down everything he knows that Harry did during that year. And yeah. It'd be a pretty similar book. Oh, God. And then he says, like, I knew it couldn't have just been a memory because of how sort of, like, you know, extreme that thing in the book was.
Yeah, just a memory, like influencing people and taking control of them and stuff like that. It's like, no, not just a memory. Also, if he suspected that that may not be the only piece of Voldemort's soul that existed, because it's a very careless way to handle a piece of one's soul, just giving it to someone to slip into the hands of a student could risk it being destroyed, which is obviously what ended up happening.
Yeah, and he's like, I reckon he did do the amount of Horcruxes he mentioned in that memory. And Harry's like, seven? And he's like, no, six. Because the one would be left inside him. And he's like, so you destroyed one, that was the diary. I destroyed the other, that was the ring. And I was like, you destroyed the ring? It's like, yes, I just didn't use any lube, and fuck me. Went up like a smoke in flames. A smoke in flames? Yes. I guess so. Yes, it worked, Harry.
I crammed my hand up there, and now that's why it looks like this.
It's what happens when you fucking fist a black hooker, Harry. I'm so mad. And he says, I do reckon that the other Horcruxes will all be objects of great importance to him.
Yes.
Maybe ones belonging to the founders of the school he loved. And Harry's like,
great magic, objects of great magical significance. So I had a little look back through his history to see if any objects that fit that description seemed to disappear around him.
And Harry's And Harry's like, oh, the locket and the cup.
Yeah.
And he's like, and I've got a feeling, Harry, that maybe the snake. And I was like, yeah, I guess so.
And so Harry's like, so the ring and the diary are gone. The cup, the locket, and the snake are still to be dealt with, and you think the last one might be something of Ravenclaw's or Gryffindor's. And he's like, it's an admirably succinct summary, yes.
He's like, well, it can't be Gryffindor's because the only Gryffindor relic is this sword, Harry, which I've got hanging around my neck.
Yes, he may have found something from Ravenclaw's, but we just don't know.
Yes. Although, do you know what, Voldemort should have, like, tried to find the final resting place of Godric Gryffindor, like, dug up his body and used the bones as a Horcrux.
Used his pelvic bone.
Yes. With these bony penis still attached. And his tail. And it's like, oh, that's why Gryffindor was such a cunt. Because he had a tail and a small fossil dick.
Yeah, he had a dick with an actual bone in it.
Yes. It meant he could bend it all kinds of ways.
Yeah, it had a joint in it, like a knee.
It means you never had that accident where you think you've pulled down your pants far enough when you're doing a poo, but you haven't. And you start peeing and then accidentally ends up all over the seat and the floor, Harry. Harry's Anyway, he's like, Harry, you have so much love and that's your power.
Yeah, and Harry's like, big deal. And if Dumbledore explains that love is the big power, and
Love is big power.
Love is big power, Harry. Do you understand? So, chapter 24, Sectum Sempra.
Yes.
Starts in the classic way. Harry fills in Ron and Hermione about everything that happened in the previous chapter.
Yeah, Ron's like, bloody hell, Harry.
Classic Ron response.
And then we find out that Ron and Lavender broke up after she saw him coming down from the boys' dorm with Harry. Not Harry, sorry. With Hermione.
And also Ginny and Dean have broken up.
Yeah, and Harry's like, oh, tell me more. Tell me more. Like, does he have a car, Hermione? Anyway, they're supposed to be changing vinegar into wine, which I was like, that's a fucking useful spell.
Yeah, in charms. Sounds like transfiguration to me, but whatever.
You're so right!
Yeah, the subjects are all kinds of, like...
Maybe McGonagall was off that day, so Flitwick was covering.
Yeah.
Maybe McGonagall was going to pick up her new scarf from Diagon Alley. Which needs a whole day to become, like, attuned with it. Okay, do I wrap it to the left or to the right? Ah, so many questions. She's sitting there just like shoveling shortbread into her mouth, like, what do I have to do? So she comes back. And she's like, wrapped it around her head, like, sort of like a racially insensitive turban. And Harry's like, well, I guess she settled on that leg. And she goes up to, like, the Patil twins and she's like, look! And they're like, oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, well done.
Wow, looks just like Dad's. She's like, yes, I think I'm in the mood for something ethnic for dinner. What do you say? What's good in your country? And they're like, what? So,
we're from Reading.
Yeah. I don't know, I guess like chips and like curry sauce is about as exotic as it gets.
Yeah.
curry sauce, yes? Sounds...
fascinating. Tell me more. How's that made?
Oh, don't know, really.
Fucking get it behind the thing at the chip shop.
Yeah. And she's like, fascinating.
I'd love to learn more about your culture.
Yes. What is this savoir loy that you...
Is it at all similar to the Batardi sausage?
Oh, God. Anyway, Katie's back.
Yeah. Harry's still inexplicably having an internal conflict about fancying Ginny, despite everything else that's going on.
I don't think that's inexplicable.
No.
No, I think he's just worried that Ron, because he's seen the way that Ron reacts to her going out with anyone. So
I just think that this is such a trivial thing.
I don't think so.
No.
No, because he really likes Ginny. And so that's kind of, I imagine, although his head is filled with all the stuff that's going on, I imagine his heart is so fucking like rammed with all this Ginny stuff that it's kind of hard for him to even put it to the back of his mind, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it must be. Priorities, Harry. Get your head out your ass.
Oh, but I like it in my ass. I like to curl up into a ball and roll around the hallways like a woodlouse.
That's one of the things me and Ginny like to do together.
We like to line up all the house elves as like as bowling pins. Anyway, yeah, so Katie Bell's in the common room. She's like running around fucking throwing glitter everywhere.
And then, yeah, Harry takes her aside and asks her if she remembers who gave her the necklace. And she's like, no, last thing I remember is going to the bathroom in the Three Broomsticks. And then,
yeah, I mean, I'd had some of McGonagall's food that she brought back from her travels. And fucking hell, Harry just went straight through me. I was on that toilet. It's like the Battle of fucking Waterloo it was. Alas.
Harry's like, okay, so you don't remember who gave you the necklace? He's like,
nah, I passed out after I shat and vomed at the same time.
Just remember waking up in the hospital feeling a bit sore.
Yeah. And for some reason, my legs were in stirrups. And my head was shaved. Yeah, she's like, whoever was in the bathroom must have been hiding behind the door. Because the next thing I remember, I woke up in St. Mungo's.
And he's like, ah, fuck, well, lot of help you are.
Yeah. Anyway, then Harry's like, do you know what? I think I might use Felix to have another go at the room of requirement. And Hermione's like, that'd be a fucking waste of potion, you pillock.
Yeah. So Quidditch practices are going really well.
Are they?
Yeah.
I zoned out of the Quidditch talk in this chapter.
Harry is just desperately wants some alone time with Ginny, and he's tempted to use Felix for it. And then the final Quidditch match of the season is approaching, and they can win the whole league if they win by over 300, or if they win by less than 300, they'll be second. If they lose by less than 100, they'll be third. If they lose by more than 100, they'll be fourth and last. And so, yeah, the build-up to the Quidditch match, the team members are doing the standard thing, dashing between classes to throw up from anxiety.
Oh, fuck off.
It's like, what?
Yeah, you play this game all the time.
That seems so extreme.
Yeah. Maybe they're just trying to get rid of memories.
Yeah. Just need to clear their heads. And Harry's still trying to get Malfoy in the room of requirement, but it's still not working. And he's passing by there one time, just out of habit, looking at the Marauder's map, and thinks Malfoy's not on it, but then he sees him in a bathroom on the sixth floor.
Yeah.
Which made me wonder how you look at all the floors at the same time on a map that's just one piece of parchment.
I remember them saying this was such a fucking challenge for them when they made the film, because trying to realise the Marauder's map was like intensely difficult.
Yeah.
Because obviously this works in like imagination land where you haven't really got to have a clear image of what it looks like.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like you'd have to scroll it, like when you're really zoomed into a window and you can just drag scroll kind of thing.
That's a great idea. And in fact, it makes me kind of wonder why we didn't think about doing that like in the movie. I guess like scrolling wasn't really a super commonplace thing yet, because we didn't have smartphones yet when Azkaban came out.
Yes. Alas, he sees Malfoy in a bathroom on the sixth floor.
Yeah.
With Moaning Myrtle.
Yes. He's got his face all over her ghostliness.
Yeah, as Harry goes down, takes a sneaky peek into the bathroom.
Harry goes down. Harry goes there with his own ghost. He's got the ghost of a house elf tethered on a bit of string like a balloon. Like, Malfoy, can I join you? And he's like, I mean, I guess so. If we're going to become friends over anything, this is good, I guess. Let's swap. Mm.
So yeah, Harry takes a little glimpse into the bathroom, sees Malfoy, sees Myrtle, just straddling over the sink, I guess.
Straddling Draco's face. Morning, Myrtle. Morning, Myrtle. She likes the Aryan race. Oh, God.
Malfoy's like, my, what a remarkable ghost bean you have.
I love all your tattoos.
I need to do it soon or he says he'll kill me. And Myrtle's like, sorry, how is this related?
Yes, you need to do me soon or I'll kill you. So.
Make your choice, young man.
Yeah, you better shape up.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Because I need a man.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
And my bean is resting on you.
Oh, that's a nice, good reference to one of our Poorly Read at the Movies episodes there, exclusively available at patreon.com/poorlyread. Anyway.
Oh, God.
Malfoy's like gripping the sink and intensely shaking and crying and says he's going to kill me if I don't do it. I have to do it soon. Myrtle offers help, but he's like, no, no one can help me. Fuck off with your ghost bean.
Yeah, and then he looks up and sees Harry spying at him through the glory hole.
And he says, no, that ruins the illusion of it. Just stop it. It's supposed to be anonymous.
Yes, I like to pretend it's my mother on the other side. Anyway, and Harry's like, Draco turns around and he's like, pew, pew, pew.
Yeah, they and fight like, instantly. Pew, pew, pew. Yeah, duel scene.
Yeah.
It culminates in Malfoy trying Crucio, but Harry getting in there with Sectum Sempra first.
Yeah, he's like, brap, and Draco falls to the floor in a puddle of squelchy mess.
Yeah, he shits himself and falls over.
Yeah, and then the spell turns him inside out, and Harry's like, I wasn't fucking expecting that. This looks terrible. This looks like a gelatinous mess. This should not be in a spell book.
Myrtle dashes out of the bathroom crying, murder, murder! And then Snape comes in.
Yes, with his spooky cloak.
With his spooky cloak.
Yeah. And he's like, sorry,
I'm just coming from a session with the headmaster.
Oh, God. Anyway, then he's like, oh, Draco. And he's like,
oh, no, Draco, mate.
Oh, my God. No. Oh, my God, Draco. No. Oh, my God. Oh, my God, Draco. Oh, you're all inside out. It's okay, a bit of ointment will fix this.
No, he goes like, pew, 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 and starts like sealing Draco up with his magic wand.
Yes. He takes him over to the hospital wing and tells Harry to wait there.
Yeah, and Harry's like, fuck. And then yep. Snappy comes back and he's like, oh, I
underestimated you, Potter. So I don't know why my accent went Indian then. I underestimated you, Potter. Sorry, I've been dining with McGonagall tonight.
Oh, sorry.
I can't underestimate you, Potter. I didn't know you were capable of such dark magic.
And I didn't know what that spell did, sir.
Yes, he's like, where did you learn it?
Yes.
In a book in the library. It's like, liar.
Liar, I can see to the back of your brain with my magic eyes. Look. And he, Harry can't stop in legilimensing him.
Harry didn't realise how common a sound that was in all sorts of magical processes.
Like, bring me your school bag and every book inside it.
Yes. So Harry dashes back up to the common room, ignoring people's questions about why he's covered in muck.
He's like, Ron, give me your school bag and your sister. He's like, why? And he's like, I ain't got time to...
No time to explain, Ron.
So he's like, all right, here's Ginny in his bag. He's like...
He just hoists Ginny over his shoulder.
She's like, I'm not an owl. Anyway, then they run outside and Harry's like, oh, fuck, 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 fuck.
Harry's new catchphrase.
She runs to the room of requirement. He's like, I need a space to hide my girlfriend in a book.
Yeah, and he gets in. It's bloody huge. Size of a cathedral with alleyways and roads all made up of a clutter of objects all been hidden by students over the years.
Yeah. And he finds a little, like, nook that has a bust in it.
Yeah, he walks past the broken vanishing cabinet.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Finds a cupboard, hides it in the cupboard behind an old birdcage, and then puts a ugly warlock bust on there with a wig and an old tiara.
Yes, which is the diadem.
Yeah, thanks.
Just in case you didn't know, Tom, yeah. Also, I wonder where... Oh, no, I was going to say, I wonder where we got the diadem from, but we find out in the next book, don't we?
I can't remember, so I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, it's really cool. He just goes to Argos and they had it in stock. He's like, fucking hell, this is lucky.
Good old Argos, man.
Yeah, Elizabeth Duke. That's the jewellery in Argos.
Oh.
Ugh, fucking hell.
Why don't look at jewellery? Why would
you
go look at jewellery in Argos?
I know that.
I look at gadgets and things. Because yeah, I'm a boy. And blue stuff.
I just look at pink stuff and dollies and engagement rings. Anyway, so he hides the book and he comes out. He's like, fuck, I left Ginny inside. So he goes back in and fucking in that room 50 years have passed and he's now a much older woman. And he's like, I guess, I mean, you do look more like my mum now.
And also more like your mum, which...
Yeah, I mean... I don't like the way that Ginny wobbles, if you get what I mean.
Has your gravy matured to the same...
acidic vinaigrette that your mother has?
So he goes, runs straight back to the bathroom after that, and Snape looks through all his books, and he gets to the last one, the advanced potion making one, and he's like, this is your copy of advanced potion making.
Tom, what have I told you about doing his accent?
This is your copy of advanced potion making.
Harry's like, what?
I said, this is your copy of advanced potion making. Sorry, I had a baguette for dinner.
Yeah. I was like, oh, wait.
Oh, Snape, you are growing a mustache. And your cape's getting all stripy.
Have you always had that beret?
He's like, no, is this your copy? And Harry's like, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Are you sure?
He's like, yes.
Then why does it say property of Oprah Winfrey on the inside cover?
I was like, That's my nickname.
Yeah, I had a really offensive Halloween costume once. It just stuck.
And Snape's like,
I think you're a liar and you deserve detention every Saturday until the end of term. What do you think? And he's like, I disagree, sir.
Yeah, what about Quidditch? And he's like, fuck your Quidditch.
Go and fuck it.
Yeah. Bring your Quidditch here and fuck it in front of me.
The whole team, Harry.
You will line up all your sporting utensils, the quaffle, the broom, the golden flying bollock, and...
the 100-foot-high goalpost.
And I want to see secretions expressed on every single one of them. And Harry's like, okay. And I guess it's better than not playing at all.
So, yeah, Hermione then chastises him and says, well, I hate to say I told you so, but also I told you so. And Ginny tells her to fuck off.
Yeah, what does she say exactly? I forgot what she said because they get into... like,
Hermione's still talking about like the prince's book and why it's bad and why Harry shouldn't be trying to go after Malfoy and all of that stuff. And Ginny's just like, oh, give it a rest, Hermione. Oh, and then it's all tense.
Yes.
Because they're going camping. Oh, good. I'm glad that got that. That was either going to get that or an exasperated eye roll.
No, that was great. Oh my god. So yeah, over the next like the next day, Harry gets a bollocking from Professor McGonagall, who is now wearing her scarf as a burqa. Oh god. She's like, you wouldn't believe how difficult it was getting past security today, Harry.
I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it.
Oh my god, I'm sorry, that's terrible. And she's like, yeah, you fucking deserve that detention, you little prick. Who do you think you are?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, sorry, miss.
Sorry, miss.
And then
so
what happens?
He goes to his detention in Snape's office. And and it's on the day of the Quidditch match, on the day of this Quidditch final. And yeah, Harry's all worried because if they lose the match by more than 100 points, then it will be remembered that he was the one who captained the team to their first bottom of the table finish in like 200 years or something.
Yeah. Snape wants him to courage to like to copy out detention cards from like years past.
Yeah, there's old like cobwebbed boxes, and it's like, yeah, some of these are like starting to fade with time or have been like eaten up by mice or whatever. You were to rewrite the ones that have faded, and I think it would be fine if you start with this box to this box. I think you might find some familiar names in there.
Yeah, and it's his dad and Sirius because they did an illegal curse on someone or something.
Yeah, there's quite a few of their little misdemeanors, transgressions. Yeah.
And I thought, why the fuck would you bother keeping a report card after the student had left the school?
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's like Filch is just kind of obsessive over that kind of thing, isn't he?
I guess so, yeah, it's his little thing. Maybe he likes to fucking remember all the detentions and punishments he's given out. And
yeah, because he says like Filch has been looking for someone to help out with this.
See, Harry gets back to the common room after his detention and gets met by a roar of
celebration.
Yeah, celebrations. People just throwing little Maltesers and Milky Ways and galaxy truffles at him.
Yeah, and there's like, we won by over 300 points, which means we've won the thing. And everyone's all super happy. And then Ginny runs over and hugs him. And Harry gets caught up in the moment and decides to slip a cheeky finger.
Yeah, and she's like, ah! Oh! Harry's like, is she stuck on pause?
He's like, I didn't know this would happen. And Ron was like, well, I could have told you, mate.
they fucking make out.
Yeah, and it's all, the whole room goes silent and tense. And Harry scans around the room and there's a few people, you know, reacting in their various ways. But he's looking for Ron.
Yeah, and Ron... Dean fucking smashes a glass in his hand. And then Ron looks at him and just gives him a shrug like, oh, it's about time. Or, oh, I knew you'd do it. Oh, I wish it was me. Oh. Yeah, and then he's like, come on, Ginny, let's go and have a walk around the grounds.
Yeah, during which, if they have time, they might discuss the match.
And then, does the chapter end or is there more?
No, that's it. Chapter ends.
Ah, end of chatter, guys. Yeah, thank you for joining us.
On this magical adventure.
Yes, as we jump on a tandem bike and drive through Amsterdam during their Yuletide celebrations, in which they still have people dressing up in blackface. Oh, God. Yeah, I tell you what, though. Should we give them a little sneak peek of Patreon episode, Tom?
Oh, I tell you what, mate. That sounds like a bloody champion idea.
So here's a clip from Disney's Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
To be honest.
He must have.
He must do.
Because if all he wants is someone super hot, I mean, just pick one of them. They've all got basically the same face as Belle anyway.
I think he likes her really because she doesn't like him.
Yeah,
so she's
yeah,
hot,
exactly,
but also
yeah.
She's like unattainable. So he's like, oh, I need that trophy on my wall.
Yeah.
You've got to marry her, cut off her head and mount her above the mantelpiece.
Yes.
He's like, ah, my biggest prize, my favourite game. And every Christmas, he takes the head off the wall.
We all know what
Don't know
does.
If I want to make that joke, really, yeah? Oh, good. So we get like a call
which,
for like,
which hole will
music.
It be this year?
Yeah. Yeah, so we want to talk about that bit in your podcast where you said that Gaston gets filleted by the disembodied and taxidermied head of Belle. They're like, yeah, what's your question?
Yeah. Oh, yes. That was a great bit. Let's talk about it.
Look, I've done like a little sketch on this like stack of post-its. If you flick them really fast, it's animated.
You guys love that shit, right?
Maybe we can make a film out of that, you know, put it on Disney Plus. Like, no. I think you misunderstood what we're here for.
You want to buy the rights to that scene, right?
Yes. Yes. What do you mean, cease and desist?
Yeah.
Wow, that's the best thing I've ever heard.
I'm sure it was. Again, I have no idea what clip it's going to be at this point, but I'm sure it's a good one.
Yes, I'm sure it should be Christmas number one. Yeah, please join up to our Patreon, where we have our exclusive Patreon-only series, Poorly Read at the Movies. Where for $3.99 a month, you get two exclusive episodes where we give your favourite films the Poorly Read treatment. Also, if I can check out our merch.
Fucking merch.
Over at redbubble.com. What other stuff do we say?
I don't know. All I contributed to that was fucking merch.
I mean, check out our socials on Instagram and Twitter. We're at PoorlyReadPod. Email us your tings at poorlyread@gmail.com. And please, please, please give us 5 stars and a glowing review on the Apple Podcast app.
Yes. Any and all of those things would make us very, very happy, boys.
Yes. It'll make my...
It'll blow up the balloon that I slipped up there before we started recording.
Yeah. Yes, it will blow up my fancy red balloon. Yeah, other than that, I guess I've been Gifted.
I've been Tom.
And McGonagall's been kind of racist.